headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the box. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnik, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Pepe will look back on the 3-1 defeat against Rangers. Look ahead to Saturday's game against Dundee United at Tannadice, and there's plenty of other talking points that we'll cover over the course of the next three quarters of an hour or so. Mate, welcome along. How are you doing?
I'm all good. Just got Liverpool on in the background, so excuse me if they score and I let out a cheer.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. We'll get going though and start with the most obvious starting point, Saturday's 3-1 defeat against Rangers. Another disappointing afternoon, to be perfectly honest. Rangers got the noses in front after 11 or 12 minutes. They were then reduced to 10 men following the sending off of Liam Balogun. A completely deserved red card, it must be said. That seemed to get our backs up and we got back in level terms through Ross Tierney. Though Rangers scored early on in the second half, Scott Wright scoring. They were then awarded their obligatory penalty to make it 3-1, and for the second time this season, we've lost to a side with 10 men by the same scoreline, 3-1. So, a poor start to life in the top six. Results did go our way over the course of the weekend. Defeats for Ross County at home to Celtic and Dundee United at home to Hearts. But overall, mate, and we don't expect to take much from these games. History tells us that we shouldn't expect to take much from games against Rangers, but it was lackluster. I think David Clarkson described it perfectly on the radio. That after going in at half time with a wee bit of momentum, the second Rangers goal really took the stuffing out us, and we never really recovered from that. It was another damp squib and another underwhelming afternoon.
It certainly was that. Just due to commitments with my wee boys team, I never got into the game until just after we'd equalised, unfortunately. So I missed that, and to be honest with you, even it was probably about the 42nd minute that I got into the game, and I thought it was just the second half was dreadful. There was nothing really at all that we created. Listening to it on the radio, it sounded as if we were a team that were in this end of the scene, I think. As you said earlier on, you don't really expect to take any out of these games, particularly with a record against particularly Rangers at home in the league. We've not got a record, but I really did think they were there for the taking. They didn't have the strongest lineup. Yes, they on paper they're a far better side than us, but there was an opportunity there that we could have really turned the place positive for a change. Because despite even being in the top six, and it's not like me at all, I'm going to sound really, really negative, but I just came out of the game and we get beat. And I was, for the first time, I was nearly like raging or in. It's as if I'm getting kind of disconnected from it. It's as if, I don't know, but I've never had this support in Motherwell. And I've been going to the games for about 35 years. And I hate to say it, but I just felt disconnected from it for the first time ever. And I'm usually desperate to go to every game. This weekend I'm away down to the Blackpool Cup with it, and I'm not really that bothered that I'm missing the game. Don't get me wrong, still love Motherwell, but there just seems to be something missing at the moment. I've been Alexander's biggest fan, but I mean it was like as soon as Rangers scored that third goal, like, let's get the three subs on. Whereas maybe if we changed that a wee bit earlier, we wouldn't have needed to do that. I feel as if he makes the changes too late. We're stubbornness. We're consistent formation. And there's just a doubt starting to creep into my mind. It's different from even when the likes of Barraclough was there. The football was just dreadful. But at the moment, it's kind of a strange because we're in a position that I would say is almost like a false position. And hearing Graeme Alexander saying, no, we deserve credit, I've seen a stat that probably cemented my thoughts that I think from January, now I know the season starts in August and it's at the end of the season that matters, but my concern is we're bottom everything, I think, with the exception of scoring goals. Goals conceded, games won, points won, or 12th in everything. It's been terrible. I mean, Tony Watt said something when he left, and I feel as if I keep on going back and going back and going back, but I have to. Tony Watt was instrumental in our first half of the season. Tony Watt leaves, albeit it doesn't play against Livingston. We win that game when he's still on the squad, and then we've won one game in the league since. And I think that's the manager's got to take some of the blame of that because he's not got a replacement. Jordan Roberts has come in. Effort. None of the two of them are going to fill. Not even Tony Watt, but a player that's scored nine, ten goals in that period of time. So all in all, I can't be positive. I think generally I'm quite positive. I think a lot of people probably say I'm not, but I don't know, Andy. I don't know if you. I think you feel the same. That there just seems to be a fair bit of negativity. Their support, even tonight, looking at the player of the year, people are saying, I don't really know who to pick. Is there a player of the year? Is there a standout? And I think that speaks volumes.
It's almost a kind of welcome to my world scenario listening to that, to be honest, mate. The disconnect and the lack of, it's a lack of enthusiasm. I must say that I've got, and now I'm at the stage, and I've had this conversation with a few people in recent weeks where I no longer feel any sort of desire to go to away games in particular. I don't particularly look forward to home games. And I think that it is mainly owed to the style of football. Now, there's other factors as well, like in terms of it's just sometimes your habits do change somewhat and you maybe go through a wee spell out of disconnect. And I'm sure that this won't last for a long time, but focusing solely on the football, and there's just kind of one wee stat that was brought up during the game on Saturday, that the fact that we've played 17 games in 2022, how many games do you think we've taken the lead in?
Three, maybe. Is that, I don't know, I'm guessing at that.
We've taken the lead in one game this year against St Johnstone and went on to lose that game 2-1. Other than that, we have not scored the first goal. We conceded first in both cup ties that we won as well, remember, and also against St Mirren in the 4-2 victory. So quite incredible, really, that we seem to always give ourselves a real mountain to climb. And I was really frustrated by the lack of substitutions or just the lack of urgency that we came out the traps in the second half. You think when you've got a game of that magnitude, and players playing for their futures, whether that be at Fir Park or beyond, given it's on the telly, it's got a wide audience. You mentioned the fact as well that you're not going to get many times that you play Rangers and they've essentially got a second string out. I know that there was plenty of good quality players in there and players that are of a higher standard than what we've got, but it was an opportunity and it just, it passed us by. We let it pass us by. And then you get the three substitutions. By that point, the game's gone. The atmosphere's, you've got that big away stand full of Rangers supporters who are buoyed by the fact that they've moved into a 3-1 lead. It just all went Rangers' way after the break. And that's nothing to do with the award of what many have described as a dubious penalty. I actually think it is a penalty, to be perfectly honest. But We played into their hands. We made it far easier than it should have been for them.
Yeah, just on relation to the penalty though, I think it was a soft penalty. But the way that I judge it is, would I be shouting for it if it was at the other end? And I absolutely would. And I think Mugabe has been really unfortunate that he's been kind of a shoved into the right back position, and I think he's getting caught with players coming across him every single week. Now I'm looking back to the way I was with Mugabe, but I mean the last few weeks he's been really, really, really poor. I mean, even if you go back to the challenge in the cup where Willie Colum sent him off after seconds into the game, there's been so many times where he's been unfortunately culpable in causing goals, giving penalties away on goals. And I don't really know what the answer is. Obviously, we've got injuries just now. It crossed my mind, would Grimshaw have been better in there at right back? And I know that he divides opinion. And since Alexander's been in, he's been playing more back into his traditional midfield role. But for me, Grimshaw, he's never going to be your first choice right back. But there was games where he did well. He got us up the park. Yes, he's been out of position and stuff. But is he going to do any worse than what Mugabe's done? I'll leave that. I would like to know what your opinion of that is. Again, just to emphasise, I'm not saying that Grimshaw's the answer to all our problems, but when we got to the cup finals, and when we did finish third in the league, Grimshaw was a regular part of that team. Some would say that maybe he was the weak link of the team, but he was still part of a relatively successful Motherwell team. And I think that was, for me, Rangers were looking at that area of the pitch. And again, it's our right and left flanks are so, so weak. But the concerning thing for me is that I don't see that changing. And I think that's where my lack of enthusiasm comes. The fact that Nathan McGinley's going to be your left back for the next X amount of years. I've made it known that I like Stephen O'Donnell. I don't know what his injury status is. But he's not had great form. Recently, and he's admitted that himself. So I think that's probably where my concerns lie. I didn't think that Sondre Johansson's been great. I think he's had some good games, and I think he's had some really poor games, and I think he gets off with a lot of criticism because of the character that is. He's over giving high fives and taking pictures, which I think is great for the kids and stuff, but that doesn't cut it for me. I think Oyala's really, really slow. I don't think he looks as if he's up to the standard. So I think that's why I'm a wee bit concerned, because we've got these players. If you look at Kane Woolery, he's in a 3-year deal, but can he get near the team? Joe Effort doesn't look up to the standard. And what the manager's been virtually saying is it won't be a big rebuild because we're signing players in longer term contracts. And I think if this is the way it's going to go next season, I think I'm worried about next season. And we're fighting for a European place. It's such a surreal. I've never felt this as a football supporter at any level. It's weird.
You've covered off a lot there, so it's kind of difficult for me to kind of respond to it all. But see if I do a kind of sweeping reply if I can. Starting off with Mugabe, for me, the penalty, the concession of it's quite clumsy. He gets caught on the wrong side of Sakala, and there's an inevitable kind of coming together at that point. I would go with your summary of it, that if it happens at the other end, you're wanting a penalty. I think given the fact that Yanni Ayala had flown into a tackle just after the Rangers sending off as well and escaped with a yellow card, he could have quite easily been sent off. And I've seen referees in the past look to level things up when they've made a big decision against either one of the big two, it must be said. Ayala, for me, is a massive concern. He looks really, really slow. He's had the odd game where he's looked pretty accomplished, but then more often than not, he doesn't look fit. He seems to be having a real dip in his confidence, and he was giving me the fear anytime he was anywhere near the ball or anywhere near a Rangers man the other day. He just seemed like a time bomb waiting to go off. I thought it was a really, really poor performance. I think we're all over the shop at the back just now. Jake Carroll, I struggle to think of a Motherwell player in recent times that's got a worse positional sense than Jake Carroll. Again, there's ability there in terms of he can deliver a good ball into the box, but he's found wanting at the back. So that just leaves us with one other player in our back line to really discuss, and that's Ricky Lamy, who, as it stands, looks like he's going to Dundee next season. So if the manager doesn't think there's going to need to be a massive rebuild at the back, then I'm not sure what he's watching, to be perfectly honest, because it seems clear as day that that's a really weak spot of the team. Going forward, I don't think that things were much better on Saturday. You've got Dean Cornelius, who I thought put in a tremendous shift, and Callum Slattery in the latter part of the first half looked very good, but kind of dropped out the game. Ross Tierney got his first goal, made a wee bit of an impact. As did Connor Shields, his pace and his power caused him a wee bit of bother in the first half. Again, faded out in the second half. Joe Efford, I thought, struggled. And you're looking at a front line there that aren't regularly scoring goals. We're going to be without Kevin Van Veen again for the trip to Tannadice. I think that's the problem, with the exception of Liam Kelly, who, and we're going to talk about the player of the year, but I feel that there's very little that makes me happy about this team, or players that I put a great deal of faith in. And that's a wee bit because you get guys that will get opportunities and look very good and then drop out the side. So a wee bit of that's on the manager as well. But it's just, it doesn't feel like we've got a great deal of quality. And if this is what we're going to persist with going forward, then there's not really much to get excited about, is there?
No, another point I would make, I know that it's documented that Mark O'Hara's allegedly signing for St Mirren. And we've already discussed the kind of Ricky Lamy side of things about him potentially signing for Dundee. Obviously, the clause and his contract that he's come out and said that he might renege on that. But if you go back to the Livingston game, the one player that I thought changed the game in our favour was Mark O'Hara. Yeah, he doesn't. He's not anywhere near the starting lineup. Whether that's down to his move to St Mirren or another factor, but I found that kind of strange. That I'm not saying he single-handedly got us back into that game, but he certainly was putting 100% effort in. And I would have had him in the starting team. What I will say is, when he came on, he didn't really do much in Saturday, but I think he would have added a bit more balance to the team. I think Goss is just one of these luxury players. He can put a beautiful ball in, but when you need to roll up your sleeves and get dug in, he's not the type of player that's needed in a game like that. I quite like him. He's maybe two or three decent games, and then he goes missing. But all in all, I think the two of us we've obviously clashed on with regards to the manager and stuff a few weeks back, but I don't know, things have just seemed to have got into the top six, and I think that's really, really has papered over the cracks. If you fast forward to a year's time, you saw we were in the top six that season, potentially going to get into Europe, it will look like a successful season. But the two of us are sitting here like doom and gloom, and I'm actually feeling quite bad for anybody listening, because they'll probably just turn us off because we're so negative. But we can't be false. You can't tell lies. I don't know how to spin a positive on football being a Motherwell fan in 2024. I mean, it's... alright, the Livingston game...
2024?
Sorry, 2022. I'm away ahead of myself. the Livingston game, when that goal went in, was the celebrations were brilliant. I can't really think what other game I've enjoyed this year. Aberdeen in the Cup. And even going back even further, which is sad because this time last year we were dying to get back to the football. And that's why I feel so bad that I'm so negative, because if you go back to the Community of the South game, when we were together at the first game in the top tier of the South stand, and it was emotional. And I know we've said this before. And see, now, for the first time ever, I've been like, ah, I'm actually looking forward to not having to. I mean, I still, my wee boy would go and with walking and fire to go and watch Motherwell, and that's what's driving me on to continue going. But it's just, I can't even say it's because I'm getting older. And I think it's the style of football. It's not exciting. We've done nothing to merit as having anything to look forward to.
Ah, that's right. It's quite a turnaround, though. I must admit, I don't feel that my stance has changed a great deal since we recorded following the Livingston game. I feel that, well, we achieved the top six. It's not unreasonable to say and flip it in its head that could have quite easily been a quite spectacular failure in terms of missing out, because we were in such a strong position going into the winter break, and we've just never really kicked on at all since. There's been very few highlights going forward from that Ross County game. The victory in the Cup against Aberdeen, you kind of thought maybe that's going to propel us on. Even the way that we won the Morton game, it was pretty appalling up until the point that we got back in level terms, and then Liam Donnelly scores with one of the last kicks of the ball. But again, we don't use that to kick ourselves on to the next level, and I think that's where a lot of the frustration lies as well. There has been a few moments where you would maybe pinpoint what felt like a turning point and a momentum shifter, but it's been anything but. We'll have a wee moment and then we'll go back to the same old dross, and again, lackluster. I'm going to need to keep on using that word, because that's how I feel. That's how you sound like you feel as well. And it's certainly what I'm watching on the park just now. We're going to these last four games, and there's a lot of excitement among some still on social media and such like about these last four games and what they could potentially bring to the football club. But it doesn't feel like we're in the midst of a European race. In fact, it just feels like we're just treading water most weeks.
But I think that's natural, though, when you look at our form. I mean, I've already said what the stat was, that we're bottom of everything. At the end of the day, things need to change. And we might go to Tannadice, which we'll talk about shortly, and get a result, which really puts everybody up for the game at Ross County. We'll take a massive support up there, and it'll be a great day. And football can change in your opinion in 90 minutes. I mean, that goal that Ricky Lamy scored has probably kept Graeme Alexander in a job. Or it's at least took a great deal of pressure off him. You could feel the kind of the atmosphere changing. I mean, he was getting applauded with the support. Whereas, it just shows you how quick things can change. If we go out and have a good end to the season, where we go out and take, 7 points for our next three games, you're getting into the final game of the season in Europe, it puts a completely different, and it makes all this negativity probably, well, certainly make minds disappear, that will be looking forward to European football, positive end to the season. Yes, we've had a poor run from January until April, but at least it'll be a bit more positive, and there is something still to look forward to. I've still got that fire in my belly that I want to go up to Tannadice, and although I'll not be there, I want to watch the game, and so that's something for me to cling on to. Go to Ross County, it's going to be a battle up there, they're on form. If we win that game, are you virtually cementing potentially a European place with that game? And at the end of the day, I've already said maybe we don't deserve it, but you're going to take it with both hands, and who knows, when we get a glamour tie where we're all getting the passports looked out, And I suppose this is the beauty of doing this podcast now. I'm sounding quite excited. I think I'm bipolar. That one minute I'm doom and gloom, and the next minute I'm talking about potentially going on a European run. But that's the beauty of football, Andy. And that's why we're football fans, that it can change your weekend. I mean, there's nothing better than going home and actually enjoying watching sports scene. But it just feels as if it's not happened for so long. But maybe we're due a wee run of results, and it's going to come at the perfect time toward the end of the season.
Just a final one on the Rangers game. The game was originally scheduled for the Sunday, moved forward 24 hours to the Saturday midday kickoff, following a request from Rangers. Of course, they've got involvement in the semi-finals of the UEFA Europa League. Motherwell went along with this request, much to the dismay of quite a lot of supporters, who understandably were a wee bit put out that there was only 4 days' notice for this fixture change. When you've got a situation like the split, where you get these last five fixtures released at only a couple of weeks' notice, you've sometimes got situations with work and such like where you're having to rearrange to make sure that you get to the football. The attendance noticeable as well, just scraping in at over 8,000. One of the lowest I can certainly remember for a visit of either of the old firm. Other thing I noticed was that there was barely a mention of the fixture on Motherwell's social channels and such like about how to get to the match and how those that aren't season ticket holders could buy tickets. The announcement wasn't until round about lunchtime on the Tuesday. It just all felt very slow and half-assed. And even then, it didn't feel that Motherwell were pushing, trying to get Motherwell fans along to what was a huge fixture for ourselves. I don't know what the game plan is here. Are these poor home attendances going to be used against us in the long run? I know Alan Burrows has said that won't be the case that season ticket holders are uprooted from their seats as a result of Rangers or Celtic requesting more tickets. But the more and more these attendances fall, the more and more I can't help but think that it must be playing into the psyche of the club that they would make a hell of a lot more money if they were to sell these empty seats.
I'll go back to the start of what we were talking about. I was suffered as a result of the late change. As I've said many times, I take Wishaw Wickham 2011s, and we had a really important game against Mill United over in Hamilton, and it was a wee bit of a later kickoff, and at the time it was near a problem, whereas potentially I could have said to them, is there any chance we could get an earlier kickoff if the game was on a Saturday? So it meant that we kind of rushed through the games, didn't stay, left a couple of minutes early for our game, rushing up to Fir Park and missed kind of near enough the first half. So in a kind of way, I suffered as a result of it. Was I annoyed with the way that the club handled it? I think obviously they're saying that it was the police and or the authorities that were holding up the decision. Do I think it was the right thing to do to help Rangers? I don't know. Does 24 hours make that much of a difference? I don't know. I'm not a professional sportsman, and we've got sports scientists now that say it will. Do we want Rangers to go on and win? Listen, if it's going to improve the coefficient, I'll not be sitting jumping up and down if they win it, and I'll not be sitting crying if they lose it. If it's going to help us in the long run, though, with the coefficient that they get to the final, then all brilliant. Obviously, this season we was getting the fifth place, getting into Europe, follow down to Rangers' form in Europe, then you can understand why the club have made that decision. But I can also understand why fans wouldn't want it. But in relation to the support to Wimbledon, I don't think a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday helps. A 12 o'clock kickoff Saturday or a Sunday For me, it just doesn't, it feels unnatural when you're leaving the house to go to the football at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean? I don't like it. And I know that Sky are a major part of that. I think that has got a massive thing to do with it. But you can't take away the fact that we've already spoke about, the fact that we've no one this year in the league, won one game in the league. People aren't going to go out their way to go to the game when forms like that, with these other kind of scenarios, with the late change, the kick-off time. So I don't think that the club could go back and start selling tickets, because Alan Burrows was quite vocal and he's come out and said that the long-term plan is to have these, to get bums in seats. And the short-term gain isn't in the club's way of thinking. So I think he's ready to put that to bed.
Yeah, it just kind of stemmed from confusion as to why the game didn't seem to be promoted. But I don't know, there maybe is kind of other factors involved in that. For me personally, the change of date felt like it came at quite a late juncture, and I can understand people's frustrations. And obviously rivalry dictates as well that you're not always going to be absolutely delighted when you're seen to be almost accommodating your rivals, but it's a decision that's been made. I don't think that it had any bearing in the end outcome of the game, put it that way. Though it was unfortunate to see some people having to miss out. You've mentioned that you'll miss out on Saturday's trip to Dundee. It's another huge game. United are in poor form as well, and it's the same story for teams positioned 4th to 10th, essentially, possibly actually 4th to 12th, excluding Ross County, who have had a really positive 2022 so far. It's going to be a tough one. We've lost already twice at Tannadice this season. How do you see this one going? It's going to be another game that we're without the services of Kevin Van Veen, which is clearly a big loss, a player that seemed to be full of confidence in the games prior to the league split. He then misses the Rangers game, misses the Dundee United game, and it's been mentioned on here before that it seems to be the case that every time he has got a wee bit of momentum, he tends to have to drop out the team, whether that be through injury or now his second suspension of the season as well. So a frustration there, but it's a game on paper that we should be going into with a fair degree of confidence that we can come out on the end of a positive result. We've got a run after that where we've got to go to County and then a home game against Hearts. Is it fair to say the next three games dictate where our season ends?
100%. I mean, I think even though we are for them, I think I would still, if you said to us, if we knew who was going to be in the top six in the current point situation, and you had Hearts, Dundee United, and Ross County and Motherwell at the start of the season, we would have all have taken that. And for us to be able to go out there and play two away games and one home game against Dundee United and Ross County, I think I would expect a win and a draw. So I'd be quite happy if we got up there and take a point at Tannadice at the moment. I'd probably take your hand off of that just now. And then go all out for the Ross County game. I think for me, Tannadice is always quite a difficult place to go. I've been at the previous two games where we've not really played well. The last one where Tony Watt scored his only goal. And I think as Motherwell fans, we're all in the same mentality that he scored one goal for Dundee United against Motherwell. And we all have the fear that he's going to score his second goal against Motherwell again. But I don't think they're that great. I think they've had a similar type of up and down season to us. They've kind of maintained their mid-table status. And it's unusual that you'll go to the stadium three times. So hopefully it's third time lucky that we can either go up there and get a win. Seen somebody posted the goal that Michael Higden scored up there, so something similar. We go down a creek. Just don't know where it's going to come from. That's the worrying thing. But I think the game will be a draw, and it will set up a trip up to Dingwall quite nicely for the following week.
Just one final note before we head towards wrapping up for this week. Just over a week ago now, it was announced that in the summer, Keith Lasley will depart the football club, heading towards taking the chief executive role at St Mirren. Keith's obviously a club legend, served the club with such distinction over two spells, then moved into the assistant manager role, which he's held for four or five years now. It was a bit of bad news when it feels like we're all a wee bit of a downer about Motherwell. A real shame to see Keith go, of course, Pepe, and I'm sure, despite the fact that he's going to another club in the Premiership, he'll certainly leave with all our best wishes.
I think that's probably adding to my kind of negativity. I think even if you go back to the Livingston game, you've seen how much it meant to him, and the cheer that he got for the fans. I've kind of known Keith on and off for a way back when he was young, and kind of got back in touch through stuff he'd been away in Zambia and stuff like that. And he's such a great guy to have around the club. He's done things for us, like he done a video for my nephew during lockdown and stuff like that. And I think it's he kind of lived and breathed the club, and he lost that. I don't know. And I still see him running toward the fans with that Craig Reid goal against Aberdeen, and you see how much it meant to him with the old kind of scarf around his head, and just getting right into it. His family all getting involved and stuff. So I was really, really sad. But at the end of the day, it's an opportunity that he can't turn down. And I really hope that he goes there, has a successful time, apart from when he plays Motherwell, and then he comes back to us one day as an accomplished chief executive or our manager, because I'm sure he would jump at the chance to come back. Because at the end of the day, he's a fan's favourite. I don't know if I just felt as if I don't know what your opinion is. I felt sometimes that he just was kind of pushed to the side, but going up to the stand and watch the game and stuff. And I never ever felt that he was fully part of it. That's maybe unfair because I'm not part of the coaching staff. I don't know the ins and outs yet. It's maybe just the way that the manager looks. But it'll be interesting to see how the third member of staff, because they're talking about bringing in a replacement for him, if he's got the same kind of involvement or he's got more involvement. But I always felt, right from the very, very start, that he wasn't part of the gang. And it was I really did think the writing was on the wall. Didn't think for a minute that he would get the opportunity that he's got, and I'm happy for him for that. But yeah, it was sad to see a legend of the club, know so many of the fans, in kind of first name terms. To lose that is definitely a bit shit.
Yeah, it certainly is, and hopefully it won't be long until we have Keith back at the football club, because I think that we quite often talk about identity, and I think having people like Keith Lasley around the football club as part of the club's identity has been ingrained in all things Motherwell for so many years. He's been there through the traumatic times of administration, right through to cup finals and European adventures and such like. So, yeah, he's been an incredible servant to the club. I do get what you're saying with the change in manager, kind of changing the dynamic. And I often wonder whether Keith maybe looks back on the game that he had at Aki's where he was in charge. And unfortunately, we were just such a poor side at that point where confidence was drained and there was some goalkeeping errors. And it was just the perfect shitstorm, essentially. We were going to lose the game 3-0. And you could see that it tore Laz apart to lose like that, but at the same time, I think it may be quite a big detrimental factor in his opportunity to take over the managerial reins, even until the end of the season, and see us through what were quite turbulent waters, I suppose, with the pandemic really at its height at the turn of 2021. So it's a lot of factors there, but I think overall, Graham Alexander's come in with his own assistant and his own ideas, and maybe that has just kind of shifted the dynamic to the extent where he was a wee bit kind of sidelined at points. I don't know. I don't have any more knowledge on that, so it would be wrong for me to speculate. But I think the overriding one was one of sadness, but at the same time, absolutely grateful for everything Keith's done for the podcast and all my dealings with him as well. Nothing but great words for him and nothing but great respect for him.
Aye, if you even remember, you mentioned the pandemic there. When the whole thing hit off and football was put in the back burner, and we done the quizzes for a while, and the first one that we done, you and I put it together for Andy P to win as normal. But I mean, Keith coming on to a fans podcast quiz on a kind of Zoom type thing, was just, that shows you the kind of makings of the guy, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, he's done what's best for him, and as a club, we'll just need to move on for it. It's probably selfish from our point of view, because he's such a personable guy, and that's it. But that was one thing that I always remembered, that the start of the pandemic when Keith came on, and ironically that night, I also remember it was when they showed the full 91 Cup final that night as well.
Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. I appreciate that you've managed to keep yourself quiet while Liverpool have scored these two goals there. So thank you for that. That saves me a wee bit of editing. But apart from that, I would just like to thank you for your time, and we'll reconvene, hopefully, following a big win on Saturday.
Sorry, my phone jammed there. I've actually been shifted up the stairs by my wife, so I didn't even know it was 2-0, so I've paused it, so you've ruined that for me. So so thanks for that.
What can I say? I'm sorry. Well, I'm not that sorry, but if you had given me a wee bit of heads up of that, then I would have been able to keep my mouth shut. You've got a free kick just now, so I'll let you know if it goes 3-0. No, it's straight out of the park. Not to worry. That's a bit more like the football you're used to there with that free kick. Mate, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks. Sorry for being so negative.
Not at all. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in a week's time. Until then, thank you and goodbye.